God bless you all once again. Praise the Lord. We thank God for this opportunity again to have this Sunday school lesson. And see, some of y'all came back for part two. So we thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. And definitely hearing from some of you all that it's been a blessing. So I thank God for that. I know it's inspired some. Like Brother Terrence said, he's going to start charging for prayer requests now. So I can see he's been inspired. That's exactly right. So I could say I can't help the response that it produces in you or your other half or your better half or your worse half. But by God's grace, I'm trusting to be a blessing. So this is Financial Jubilee Part 2. And as I said before, you know, that Jubilee is just that trumpet. It's a trumpet that's sounding, saying you can go free. And as our prophet said, you know, when the trumpet sounded, every man could go free if he wanted to go free. So it just becomes a choice. And there's certain reasons why that it's difficult to go free, just as if I was coming and we were in slavery and we had to get free. It's going to require something that we got to do on our part. So we'll get right into it. And I want to just play this quote. I heard it yesterday and it just really touched my heart. Brothers, you can move to the next slide. And I'm just going to play it. Just so you can hear it. Go ahead, brothers. You can move to the next one. Go down to slide 15. And go to the next. Yeah, I'm going to play this right here.
If our hearts condemn us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want to be halfway church. We want to be a real church or no church at all. We want to be real Christians or no Christians at all. We want total deliverance from our habits, from our sins, from our evil thinking, from our evil doing, from our negligence, whatever we've done, we want total deliverance. So that when people come into this church to be prayed for, there will be just this little group, maybe not over 100 or 2 sitting here, but they'll be completely in the hands of God. When we pray, then God will hear from heaven. God wants somebody that he can hold in his hands. Somebody that he can say, I got confidence in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's it. We want to be real Christians, you know, or no Christians at all. We want total deliverance from our habits, from our evil, our sins, our evil thinkings, our evil doing, our negligence. And so when I think of that, you know, it's really about being real Christians in all areas of our life. You know, my dad always told me a story of a sister that backslid. She was in the message and she backslid and she had a nominal Christian friend. And the nominal Christian friend was trying to argue that her being a nominal Christian was a real Christian. And this backslidden message believer said, let's look in the mirror. We both have on pants. We both got on makeup. And I'm telling you, I'm not a Christian. So if we look exactly the same, that should give you some idea. So it's the same thing within our financial lives. You know, if we look at our financial life, it's exactly the same as someone else in the world. We got debt. We got problems. Can't figure it out. Then it's something going on. And that's not saying you're not a Christian, but we shouldn't look like the world. It shouldn't be the exact same. You know, we talked about the government last time and how bad that is. But if we're no different, then we're caught up. We're tied. And that's what Financial Jubilee is all about. It's like we can be free by the grace of Almighty God. To the next slide, we know, as I brought up this quote last time, our prophet said, clean up your lives, pay your debts, owe no man, get all things off your hands, get everything right, make ready, get ready, remember in the name of the Lord, something is fixing to happen. So we certainly have no excuse. We look in the word, it's saying, hey, owe nobody. We have our prophet that's saying that. Now we need God's grace to be able to walk in this. You know, it's certainly not, you know, a Sunday school lesson. Certainly, I know it can be inspiring, especially when we talk about money, or it can move you in some way. But it's really about doing. It's about actually going in and doing something different. go to the next. We talked about some symptoms, and we'll briefly just run through some of these. Again, this is just if you went to the doctor and they was trying to give you an idea of something wrong, these are some things. If you're facing some of the things in your life, then it's a good indication that there may be some type of financial bondage. So if you're always worried about money, it's not enough. You're confused. Things are not ironed out. You know, that's an issue. Bailout. You know, you're always looking for the next one, trying to find the next thing that's going to help clean up your situation immediately. You know, you're going to get that next deal, or if you sell this many products and you get 10 other people to sell those products, you're going to be out of all your problems. Cover up. You know, this is when you're broke, but you're still looking like everything's okay. Greed. You think you deserve it. It should be me. Resentment. As you see others getting things and you're like, man, you know, how do they do that? Indulgence. Trying to find things to make you happy. As I mentioned, I had a good one with that. When I started losing all kind of money, I was just getting ready to go buy me a vehicle on loan. I was going to make my own self happy. No plan. You don't know what happened. You know, you don't know what happened at the end of the month. Others might know, but you seem not to know. Also, you're the middleman. Everything that comes in goes out. Help wanted. You want to help, but you just don't got it to help. I always say this is like the broke good Samaritan. And then we got the debt trap. This is when you just don't have it. You can't pay your bills. You got debt collectors calling you. Something is going on. All right, we're going to go talk about principles. The only way out of this is God's principles and standards. So we're going to go a little bit deeper on some of these principles. Principle number one, God owns it all. I talked about it's the 10%. We pay our tithes, but it's also the 90%. He just gave you that piece to manage. So we don't waste our money. We're actually wasting his money. If you go on, brother, to the next. He owns it. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He's telling us he owns it all. So you can rest. He's giving you what he knows you can handle, and what you can handle, he's not giving to you. He owns it all. And Haggai, just looking at that scripture and going back over it, they were building that temple. And the prophet Haggai was telling them, Zerubbabel, he was like, be strong. He was telling all the people. He says, God said, I'm with you, saith the Lord, and work. And work. He said, he want them to work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So he said, I own all the silver. I got it all. But you got to work. And that's the same thing he's telling us. He has unlimited resources, but he wants us to put in the work because it's something in the work that you get when you do that work. But he owns it all. The next, he controls it. Look at these scriptures. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He controls it. He owns it. He controls it. The next, he provides it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Deuteronomy says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. He owns it. He controls it. He provides it. That should give you some peace that you can't. And I like to tell this to my son. You can't out earn God. I hope you understand what that means. You can't manipulate enough, or I'm going to work on Sundays. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get ahead. He's telling you he owns it. He controls it. He provides it. And that's what the world has set us up to think, that there is a shortcut. There is some method that you're going to get ahead. But there is none, because he owns it. He controls it. He provides it. Now, he's given Trump the money for a reason. He's doing that. He's given Elon Musk, who owns the car, the Tesla. My son knows all about that. God has given that to him for a reason. And he knows that man is going to follow exactly what God allows to happen with that money. But us as Christians, God knows how much we can handle, how much we can't. He's telling us through his word. So that's principle number one. He owns it all. Go to the next. Our prophet says, anything that you have need of on this life's journey, God will supply it if you have need of it. He promised to supply your needs, not your wants, your needs. And he's God, and he can give. He can only get it to you as you believe him. So as we believe him, he's already made the promise that he's going to supply all that we need, all that we need, not all that we want, but all that we need. He knows. So if you don't have it yet, it's a reason. But he's promised to give you all that you need. And I have seen this in my life's journey. I have seen this. God provide. I remember getting laid off on my job, and I would just go back to Philippians and read that scripture over and over. God is going to supply all my need. And certainly the Lord would open up another job opportunity by his grace. So he provides. Go to the next. So if he controls, he owns, he provides, then what's our part? We are the managers. That 90% that we have, we are the managers of that. And we need to manage his resources diligently. Get organized. The scripture says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. My, he owns it, controls it, and provides it, but we need to manage it. Now, diligent, what does that mean? That means careful, persistent work, attention. It's like you're legally expected to act. So you think about a contract. That's what the word diligent, if you look that up, that's what it's dealing with. Like you are legally expected to act as a party of a contract. That's what he's looking at. Slack, that we know what that means. That means careless, sloppy, and yes, sometimes a little bit deceitful can be. It's like if I loan you my car and you just left the doors open, the rain coming through, it's, you know, you let animals walk in, insects, it's like you don't care. You left it somewhere. It's like, I don't know where it is. I'll deal with it later. My, and you came back and said, can I borrow it a second time? We would have some conversations, put it that way. Well, it's the same thing. This thing, that money that we have for our entire life, from the youngest you can probably remember to the oldest, you have to deal with this thing, money. But look how we treat it. We don't think it's God's. We just kind of slack. I'm doing this. I'll figure it out one day. You know, all these things, I've met couples and families and myself going through it. You know, coming out of college, I thought I had, again, figured all out. And I was just, everything that came in was going out. Everything. That's how I was like, okay, I got the money. I can do it. That's what I thought. You know, if I can make this payment, then I can borrow. 16 years old, I was getting my first loan. I think it was at JCPenney's for a VCR. I went in there and I was like, they said, well, you can sign up. You can get yourself a VCR. Like, can I? Okay. I signed it, walked out with a VCR. I think it was $275 for a VCR. But it had a remote control, and I was like, yes. My goodness. Then I had a girlfriend on top of that who is now my wife. So that credit card, that Christmas, man, I was like, she's going to be blessed. So I blessed her with some Christmas gifts, and I got myself some debt. So we were starting out on the right track, as you can see. So it says the hands of the diligent, as the scripture says, shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Scripture says it's required for a steward that a man be found faithful. So that's faithful with the 100% that God has blessed you with. Faithful regardless of how much it is. If it's a little, if it's a lot, you're faithful with that. Also faithful in the little things. Money is a little thing, but the faithfulness of it is the big part. That's what God is looking at. Faithful because it's someone else's. It's God that he's given to you. He's loaning that to for you to manage. So you're being faithful with what he's given to you. And the greatest thing about faithfulness that I've seen, faithfulness, it unlocks something. And that it unlocks contentment, which we'll talk a little bit about that. So again, you are the manager. God owns it. He controls it. He provides it. But you need to manage what God has given to you. Let's go to the next. Our prophet said, and therefore I know as a steward of his money, I'm going to have to answer for it at the day of judgment. And that's not just to the prophet. That's a Christian. We're stewards of his money, of his money. Notice how he says that. It's of his money. Wow. That's nothing but the truth. Help us. Let's go to the next. Principle 3 and 4. This is dealing with spending. So you spend his money. So money is time. You're purchasing stuff with your time. You're working an hour. You know your pay. If you waste that money, you've just wasted that time that God has given you. So don't trade any of your time on earth for useless stuff. Act, as we tell our children, act your age. Well, throughout your life journey, act your wage. Act how much you have. Simply don't spend more than you earn. Wait, save, and stay creative and pray. Now, you notice I'm bringing out that word, stay creative, because acting your wage, it does something. When you hold, you wait, you pray. Oh, you're giving God an opportunity. That's what he's looking for. You're giving him an opportunity. You're not taking the world's way. And this is where it gets hard, because we live in a world where it's like you don't need to wait on anything. You don't need to wait. Why are you waiting when I can sign you up and you can get this interest loan and you're good on your way? That's what it's all about. Buy now, pay later. Anyway, and they're coming up with every method in the book to make sure you can get it right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait on that other tool. Don't wait on this. Get it now. You need it now. And we think we're going to get ahead if we take this route, when he already says he owns it, he provides it, he controls it. So what that comes down to, we have to stop spending money that we don't have. It's that simple. You have to stop. God has given you to manage what you can manage in this season. You know, I remember just starting out in our marriage, and man, we were buying all this new furniture and stuff like that before we had kids and all that. Quickly, when they came along, you realize why I needed to wait, because everything that we had started getting messed up real quick. It was a perfect time for some secondhand furniture, if we would have known. So you see how God is just lining it up. We didn't need a new vehicle with all the food crumbs and everything being stuck into everything. No, we didn't need that. But we didn't know it at the time, because the world was saying, get it now. You need this new, brand new minivan. That's what you need. But my, thank God for his lessons. We start learning. God has given you what you can manage in the season. He's trying to tell you what you can handle. It's less stress, it's less decisions if you stick with what God has given you. When he's ready for you to have more, you will have more, because he knows you can manage it. He will know it's the right season for you at that time. By his grace, a lot of the farmers, you know, what caused a lot of their problems, they start coming out with all this new equipment. Get this new equipment. That's going to help you take it to the next level. That's going to do this. And before you know it, these farmers were upside down with these fancy, huge equipment, trying to take it to the next level, and never, ever really got ahead. But that's how the enemy does. Now, there's nothing wrong with that new equipment out of that tool or whatever it is that you desire, but you got to wait until God provides it to you. He's trying to get it to you, but he's trying to show you how he's able to provide. Again, the world is very complicated. You got credit, you got debit cards, things are out of control. Your husband, your wife, all each one. That's why I said I'm not responsible for their reaction to what they're learning this morning. But each one, we all have different personalities, the way we handle money. Some are spenders, some are savers. You got these different personalities. But I'll tell you, no matter what, if you're out of control with it, then you have to do something differently. You have to change how you're doing it. One thing we started doing when God started opening up and we started realizing, oh my God, I can't keep up with all this stuff, we went down to cash on certain things. Like, hey, we went to the bank. Yeah, it was slow. We had to slow down. We couldn't just run to the store. We went to the bank. We started getting cash. All right, okay, this is how much we're going to have for groceries. We put that in an envelope. Yes, we could use credit and debit cards and all that, but no, let's use the cash. And my wife would have to go to that store and looking at envelope, and oh my God, that's the last thing you want to do is start telling them we're going to take that off, especially when you got somebody behind you like, but hey, when you're looking at freedom, you have to do what you have to do. But guess what? It starts helping us back up, start slowing things down. Do I really need this? And man, we start getting our focus. Oh my, after we lost all that money and we start executing in this way, it changed our life. Man, I tell my wife today, we have never been closer than when we were going through this journey after we lost all that money and we got focused. We didn't go for a bailout. We could have went for a bailout. I could have said, hey, it's an equity loan. Forget it. It'll be another 20 years before we pay it off. No big deal. But God said, no, get it done. There is a way, because I start questioning why I'm paying my debts. I'm paying my tithes. I am doing everything I know to do. I wasn't a big spender, but I'm doing everything I know to do. So, Lord, how did this happen to me? And God was simply saying, I have a way. I have freedom for you if you want it. And I have seen that. I have proved it out by his grace. The scripture says the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he got. That's where I was. Everything came in. Man, we started making a little bit more money. I told you about the 40-year loan. It was like, yes, 40 years. That's fine. Our payment's going to be a little bit lower so we can get some more stuff. In that house for 40 years. My God, I'm going to spend 40 years. But that's, I thought that was the way. I thought that's what you do. Setting myself up for this world. That's what all my education, all my knowledge, all that got me. More loans, leverage this, leverage that. Don't use your own money. Do this, do that. That's all the world's lies to trap you. God has such a wonderful way for his children. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to the next. Our prophet says, someday I'm going to have to answer for every penny of money that's been given to me. Every penny. Oh, God is a master accountant. Believe me, he knows every dime he's passed your way. And he's going to hold us accountable to what we've done with that. Now, he wants to bless his children. There's no doubt, because he owns it all. But he wants us to be a steward of that. And he wants to prove us not just these natural blessings. And I hope you can see between the lines. It's spiritual. It applies to everything he's trying to get to us. It's character. That's what he's trying to get to us. But he gives us this little thing. He allowed this economy to be set up on money for a reason. It didn't have to be. We could be on the barter system or something like that. You got to trade something. You know, you got some cows. You could trade that. But he allowed it to be money for us. Because it can apply to anybody. The kids want money. The older want, the younger. Everybody wants money. What my parents going to leave to me when they leave. What they're not going to leave to me when I leave. Et cetera, et cetera. So it's something we deal with. God allowed that. But every penny that goes out, he knows. And he's given it to us for a reason. And we're going to have to answer for it. So there is a reason why it's so difficult, especially in our time. And it's one word that's leaving our society. It's leaving this world. It's going out. And that word is no. That's a very hard word. I guarantee you, if you ask me for something and I said no, you're going to have a little problem. You're going to pause for a minute like, what? No. And don't tell your kids that. They're going to do the same thing. Like, no, it's not no. It's what do I need to do? You know, if you went to go buy a car and they said, well, no, then we just not going, you know, what you mean? No, I can get a cosigner. I can get somebody. I can get this. Let me tell you how I can do it. But that simple word, no. And our prophet said the world is full of it, advertisements and television and radio and newspapers, and the American people fall for such as that. That's the American people. We shouldn't be that. We should be Christians. Christians by his grace and be able to wait on our Lord. That's why he says so much, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Go to the next. We can say no to debt. Say no to that. The world tells you what we deserve. We should have it. But as a Christians, we don't deserve debt. Oh, my. We used to go to when we were young and we didn't have that much, you know, coming in. We would go on these, what do they call it? It's timeshare. And you could go on a free trip and get a timeshare presentation. Oh, my Lord. And like, well, we get a free trip. We get a meal. I'm pretty sure we can keep them away. But they get in, they start telling you deserve it. You look at your wife like, don't you want to give her the best vacation in the world? Oh, don't you want to do that? And we thought we were smart. We were like, no, we don't want it. And they take us to the next level. And the next level, we got to a third level of a presentation. And the man was like, you are so smart, John. You, all that other stuff is just for those that are quick. But you are a thinker. You're wise. And let me show you what we got for these special people. We got this kind of deal. And guess what? You can try it out and do all this. And by the time we walked out, I had myself a signed up contract. My God. My Lord. But praise the Lord for his grace. We had a 3-day turnaround, so I didn't have to be in his face. So I called him. I said, no, we don't want it. At least I'm on the phone. But I realized how quick you could be convinced. Your wife's sitting there, and she's like, yeah, do you think I deserve it? Well, see, you get yourself trapped. But the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant, slave to the lender. Oh, the blessings of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, my, borrowing is slavery, my friends. Believe me, you loan someone some money, you see them walk in with a new outfit, and they haven't paid you back, you feel differently. You're like, yeah, I like that outfit. Mm-hmm. What about that money I gave you? That's what you're thinking in your heart. Like, mm-hmm, yeah, that's real nice, but it'd be real nice if you didn't owe me some money. I've been there, been many times, and if you haven't been there, maybe you the one that they looking at your outfit. So, stop taking on more debt. You're really robbing yourself. Again, when I had that 40-year loan, once I started sitting down and taking time and not listening to the world, I realized that I would be paying out twice as much for that house if I took 40 years to pay that off. You borrow a car, you get a car, let's say you get a 6-year car note, $20,000, you're going to be paying it back about $31,000. So forget the nonsense and say how much I'm really going to be paying on this car. Do you want to pay $31,000 for that car? Do you? Forget what they're telling, $20,000, this interest rate. Well, how much am I going to really be paying? Because that's what you're about to put in, $31,000 for a $20,000 car. That's how much you're going to pay. And no room for God to act on that. Because God specializes in these things if we follow his way. $31,000. So you can see how the prophet is saying, clean up your lives, pay your debts. How do you handle this? I'm a little practical. Write down the smallest to the largest debt that you owe. If you're responsible for the money in your home, write it down. It don't have to be anything fancy. Take a napkin, a plate, anything, a piece of paper. Write it down. What's the debts that I owe? What do I owe anyone? If you got family members you borrowed from, anybody, write those things down. And then make it a family event. Like, honey, let me just show you a little bit of something. So just in case you didn't know, this is what we owe everybody. And use that to help you slow down. And then focus on that smallest one and say, what can we do to hit this thing? Can we sell something? Do we really need this? Hey, let's sell it. Let's put the money towards that. That's what you do. That's what we started doing. Christmas gifts, anything we got. It was like, we're going to sell whatever we got. Sell it. New furniture we had. Sell it. We got to pay back this debt that we're in. And that's what we started doing. So write it down. Don't run from creditors. If you owe somebody money, you don't have to run away from your mom, your aunt, or whoever you borrowed money from. Say, you know what? I know it's been a lot going on. I know I owe you some money. I'm going to start paying this off. Real quick. We're running out of time. Next, we'll run through some principles really quick. Saving and investing. Of course, this is coming up. Click the next. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. You can just see those pictures. That's really the cycle of life. You start off young, and before you know it, you're older. My dad, I said, was an extremely hard worker. At Brother Ray's funeral, he was just talking, he said, I wish I had the strength that I used to have as a young man. I never heard my dad talk like that, but something moved him in that. And certainly he's not the same young man that he was. I'm not the same person I was when I was 20 and 30. Now that I'm in my 40s, I'm just not the same. I want to do the same, but it's not the same. And I'm still working. I'm in the season of life where I'm working. This is a season of my work years. It's not in the season of us just having kids. I got all teenagers in that range. This is the season of me working as a father, like solid. You look up dad, you'll see me. That's me. It's like, there it is. You working. You trying to manage kids. You trying to manage family. You trying to manage the natural, the spiritual, all those things you're trying to do. That's the season of life I am. But I know this is not the remaining season of my life. It's going to change. Next, I'm going to be empty nesters. Next, we're going to keep going up. That's what it's going to be. And we can see the whole range within this church. You can see it. So we have to do certain things when we're younger, like setting aside a little something, so when and I'm older. That's what we have to do. So wherever you are, make sure you have an emergency fund. If you're young, a teenager, make sure you have, like, as you work and start sending a little money, $500 for an emergency fund. Have that set aside. If you're a little bit older, have $1,000. If you're a little bit older, have several months of your full expenses set aside. You should know and can take a little time to write down all of the expenses I usually have to pay in a month. You may have about $3,000, $4,000, whatever it is, may be for you, but you should know something you can go to say, yep, it just takes me probably about $3,000 a month. And then start setting that aside. Have 3 to 6 months of that set aside just in case something happens. Then you're prepared. Next. We won't read this whole thing, but it says, if Jesus is coming in the morning, preach today like it was going to be 10 years from today, but live like it's going to be this hour. Don't get all scrupled up, he says. That's what I'm trying to warn you of. Just don't be odd, peculiar. Don't change nothing. But if you're doing something wrong or doing evil, repent. Basically, he's saying, hey, go keep planting your potatoes. Keep planting your potatoes, even if you know God is coming. This can trip us up many times, like, oh, I'm going to spend everything because God's going to come. Well, make sure you're not in debt, because you're going to leave that to somebody. But don't spend everything you have, because emergencies, they do come up. And we need to be prepared for whatever seasons are coming. Let's go to the next. Giving is the best investment. Keep going, brother. What's enough? Of course, as you keep managing God, you're going to get something. God is going to put a lot in your hands to manage. And then you're going to move to the questions of, Lord, what's enough? Enough is enough. More than enough. I don't need all of this. I don't need all of that. Okay, I can start giving out some of this stuff, because we know the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Keep going. The last, be content. Keep going. Are you content? That's the question. And how do you get contentment? How do you get it? Keep going. Well, to get contentment, you must learn it. That's the bottom line. That's why I said I love presenting this, but it's something I can't give you. I can't give you contentment. Contentment is learned, and you must learn it. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Keep going. And the last, talking about a faithful steward, this is what God is trying to get to us. Keep clicking, brother. A faithful steward owes blessings. A faithful man should abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He wants to give us those real blessings. Great gain, godliness with contentment is great gain. Some of those great gains are character. Self-control, hard work, self-denial, patience, diligence, frugality, gratefulness, all those things that we need in our spiritual life as well. But something that you can apply naturally and just take it on to your spiritual. My, and it will produce it. That's what it does. And certainly more responsibilities. I have seen that God will give you more, but he's not just going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you to where when you see more, it just becomes, oh, Lord, you're giving me more responsibilities. That's what you're doing, Lord. I see it. It's not something that's frivolous or just you giving me this new car, just have a new car, or a new house, just that. Lord, you're giving me more responsibilities. Thank you, Lord. But I know it's a part I have to play. I have to manage what you've given me. So stop spending out of control. Stop adding more debt. Write down your debts. Do save for an emergency fund. Promise you, God is not in the subtracting business. He just wants to add to our lives and bless us that we can be a faithful steward and have something that we can relate to all these spiritual things that we're being taught in his word, through our prophet, at this church. We're being taught these natural and spiritual things so we can have that character that God will be pleased with. So God bless you. Appreciate all of you. And I pray God bless you as you start or continue doing on this journey. God bless you.